Well, hello, and welcome back to Battle Plan, a podcast focused on spiritual warfare. I'm Steve Hemphill, and Battle Plan is an ongoing discussion of how we put our faith into action. Our website is active-faith.org. You can email me at stevehemphill1@me.com. And this is episode number 250. And as you can see, I'm not the only one in the picture today. I have my very good friend and sort of mentor. Maybe he mentors me and I mentor him on other things. But Randall Reeder is here. Randall, thank you for being on the podcast today.
Oh, man, you're welcome. I'm proud to be here.
We're going to talk a lot about what Randall's doing and how he's inspired us to do more things in active faith ministry. His ministry is Save Savages. He says he's a savage, but he's a saved savage. I like that. I think that fits a lot of us. And he started a church in a bar, and that idea is spreading around the country, being done in other places, other states. He's lived in the Houston, Galveston, Montgomery, Conroe area, grew up kind of some in that area too, but from Carthage originally, and that's just 30 miles from here. We met at NRB a few years ago, and when he found out what I did, he said, "What did you say?" And we sat down and talked about that for a long time. And he's been encouraging me to move forward, not only to keep doing active faith ministry, but also to consider doing more media type things. So he's actually part of the reason I'm doing a podcast at all, because I realized that we can reach people through media in greater numbers than I can just talking at churches. So Randall, thank you for inspiring me to.
Oh wow, man, you're welcome. I mean, yeah, it's funny you're talking about that. For you to say anything remotely resembling me being a mentor to you, because I find myself just calling you, asking you advice all the time. So I would say it is definitely that's the mentorship, is you mentoring me in ministry.
The phone goes both ways, and I can remember even yesterday calling you and asking you some advice about how to do
it. Well, I guess some of that stuff.
But the phone goes both ways. It's kind of like a guy who called me one time and asked me about what kind of camera he should buy for a trip going over to Egypt or something. And I said, "Well, oh, I just looked at him. This is the greatest camera you should get." And he said, "Well, that's the most expensive one. You always want the most expensive one." I said, "Hey, the phone rang on my side. I didn't call you, you know, you called me." And so that's how it is. So
you're not selling cameras.
I'm not selling cameras. You get your own camera, but you asked me and I told you what's one to get. So today, the episode today is very different than really any episode we've ever had on Battle Plan. I've done some other things where we interacted and talked like we're doing today, but I want Randall to tell us, in fact, I want to do that first. I'm just going to switch to Randall's ministry, Save Savages, and let him tell you how he was in the shower one day and got the inspiration to start that. And we talked on the phone, I think, that very day, and he felt like God nudged him to go that way real specifically. And then we'll shift, and I want to kind of do an overview of what we've been doing and a lot of those things that we're doing. Randall has helped inspire that. So I just felt like episode 250, you can turn it off anytime you want. If we're going to ramble some, but you don't have to listen to the whole thing. But it was a good time. It's kind of like I'm taking a pause, and we'll start 251 next week. But thank you for being a listener. Just as a quick update before I give Randall the mic here to talk about his ministry, we are being downloaded in 155 countries. Last I looked, it was 112 or 120,000 downloads. You know, I'm nobody. God uses nobodies all the time. I think Randall would say the same thing. Mm-hmm. Thank you for being part of that. Please share this. Our goal is just to help as many people as we can with these warfare ideas that are making a difference in people's daily lives. Normally, I have a 5-minute episode and just tell one story and give a verse with it and maybe a prayer at the end, a little encouragement, and it's fast and furious. Today, we're going to ramble some and talk about an overview, but I wanted to bring Randall on because he's such an inspiration for me and encouragement to me, and I try to be that to him too. So tell us, Randall, about Save Savages, how that got started. And I think you're working on a book now, too. So don't forget to include some parts on that,
absolutely,
your life in Hollywood.
You've inspired me to do that. So the book thing. But yeah, I, you know, in my attempt to exit Hollywood, you know, I'd moved. I'd kind of, well, I mean, my wife still thinks I don't know. you know, we live in Carthage, Texas, but we've got an apartment in Hollywood, and she spends a lot of time there. She does makeup, but you know, I'd started building this streaming platform, Americonic TV or Americonic.com, and anyway, you know, wired the money off and getting started on it. And one morning, I finish up my word in the morning, my Bible in the morning. And I happened to be with my Aunt Sandy, who took care of my grandmother before she passed. And we were doing this kind of a morning devotion when I'm in town, and she's on the same track that I am. And we finish up, and we're normally just all chatty about what we just read and all this. And I was staring at the floor, and she was like, what's going on? You know, what's on your mind? Everything okay? And I just looked up at her and I said, I don't think God's going to bless anything I touch until I put his ministry first in my life. And then just this instant, like, what did I just say? Why would I say that? I just cursed myself. Like, wait a minute, did I say that? I just heard myself say that. Wait a minute, what's going on here? Of course, she just looks up at me and asks the what anybody would. Well, what's that ministry? And I'm like, well, I don't know. If he's not going to do me, you know, he's not going to bless me till I do it, it'd be great if he'd tell me what it is. And I was real upset with the Lord. Probably called you and was like, dude, I don't know. So anyway, I was in the shower a little bit later, and I had my Pandora going with my Zach Williams, or it was probably, you know, We the Kingdom or something going, you know, some kind of contemporary Christian music going. And I'm in the shower, and I'm just like, and I'm having this conversation with God. I said, you cannot be telling me to go into bars at 2 p.m. every Sunday and do an unchurchy church service. It's what crazy people say. I'm just making stuff up. I'm being transactional. You said you wouldn't bless me till I do it. I'm trying to figure out what it is. I'm throwing stuff at the wall. I'm like, wait a minute, there's nothing else. I'm not throwing anything at the wall because there's nothing else. This is the only thing I'm thinking about. And I'm just having this mental breakdown, you know, like with the Lord.
Thinking about church in a bar.
Yeah, and I'm just, this is crazy. And then I hear all of a sudden Cody Jinks starts playing on my Pandora. I'm like, what? And he's a outlaw country, beer drinking, hell raising kind of a guy. And I was like, why is Cody Jinks playing on my Christian mix? So I get mad. So I reach out and step out of the shower. The shower's still going. And I want to thumbs down it so it doesn't mess up the algorithm of my music, you know? And about that time, he says, I remember Matthew 5. I'm just thankful to be alive. And a lot of those people on the mount were just like me. And I was like, why is Cody Jinks talking about the Sermon on the Mount right now? And so it just went from there. I said, okay, Lord, I will go into the bars at 2 p.m. and do an unchurchy church service like a crazy person.
And you started doing that.
Started doing it the next week.
I came and spoke at one.
Absolutely. And it's just
first time I was ever in a bar. I preached.
Isn't that funny? Because I invite you to come in. He goes, and you were like, yeah, I'll come in there. You know, this is the first time I've ever been in a bar. I'm like, I wouldn't believe you except I know you. But so we did that, and that's been just going gangbusters, you know, baptizing people in the
baptizing banditos.
Yes, I mean, you know, at our first baptism. It's funny, I am. That's making the book for sure. One of the first, I was just writing on it this morning. And one of the first baptism a few months into Safe Savage, we had some people that wanted to get baptized. And we had a bar that had been wanting us to come over and do a service there, but it was really outside of it was way away. It was on Galveston Island, West Beach. So it was like, you know, 40 miles from where our normal people are.
Yeah.
But we're like, well, you know what? We need to baptize people, and they're on the beach. So we'll just do a service there, and then we'll walk down on the beach and we'll baptize people in the Gulf of Mexico. So we did that. And, the first, one of the first in that group, the first one who really wanted that was a guy named Nitro that was a president of a chapter of the Bandidos for 9 years prior to that. Mm-hmm. He's no longer a Bandido, and I've watched him officially join the church that he's been going to faithfully for 3 years. You know, so it's
a lot of these people now go to church somewhere else, but they come to the bar, the church in the bar.
Yeah, some of them are still resistant. You know, so many people are church hurt. Did not know this. When I talked to you, I was just like, okay, we're going to go out and, you know, evangelism. You know, we're just going to do this evangelical thing. I had no idea that there would be so many people that wouldn't, as we're talking to them, you know, we're thinking they're like, oh, they're this must be their first time to know the Lord. And they're like, oh yeah, man, I was the youth pastor for 10 years, and I was associate pastor, or I was this, or, You know, I'm like, never would have known it. What? And they're, you know, they've just got church hurt and all that, you know, and so that's a real thing. We as Christians have not done a great job at church, you know, of doing that. That being said, I'm also not, I'm not all about being the victim of being turned hurt. It's like, you know, I tell people, like, well, okay, I get it. They hurt you. And there were some bad things that went on at that church, but are you still in the oil field? Cause you've switched companies because you got hurt at one company. Yeah. Did you leave the whole oil field or did you just go to another oil field company? You know? Yeah. So, you know, it's kind of like, you know, kind of, I sympathize with them, but also rationally I go, well, wait a minute now. That's a little overreactive. So,
well, and you're not against other church. It's just a way to reach people who are not going.
Yeah. Anywhere. In fact, honestly, it's an unwritten rule, that the leaders have to be faithful to a church. Like somewhere. They have to be submissive to a pastor. Yeah. We just don't have any so far. We haven't had to make it a rule, but that's something that we, you know, because we don't want just a deal. Bunch of rogue, you know,
right.
You know, people out, you know, myself, I mean, you know, I mean, I get it. I get the whole people not liking organized religion. I totally get it. I can sympathize, but you know, we need accountability and all that. Yeah. So,
you know,
we're big on church. We're really big on church.
Yeah, I know you are. And I love you for that and your dedication to your daily study and following the mentoring of other guys. We both were friends with Jim Warren and others. Mm-hmm. They're good
Papa
mentors.
Jim.
Yep.
Hi, Papa Jim.
One of the things that happened to me, your story there just reminded me of it. I didn't plan to tell this today, but I had a guy call me one time and he wasn't going to church anywhere. He wanted to meet with me for breakfast. And I met with him and I said, what's going on? He said, well, I think I have a generational curse. And I go, why you think that? Well, my grandma was bipolar and my mother was bipolar. And I'm 40 and I'm starting to have some of those symptoms and I just don't want to be that way. And I said, well, are you going to church? And he goes, no, man, all those hypocrites up there. I go, man, I get that. That's like not going to the gym because there's fat people there.
Right.
You know, that's who needs the gym.
Right.
And he kind of, I said, you know what Satan's looking for? He said, what? I said, sheep who are not with the other sheep.
Right. Yeah.
And anyway, he went back to church. His whole life got better. Yeah. And so Jesus went to church and the people he went with were planning his murder.
And did.
And besides that, you know, if you said to me, you know, I love you, Randall, but I hate your wife. I can't stand me and you probably not going to be real good friends, right. You know, if I feel. And the church is the bride of Christ. So I need to be careful. But church hurt that you brought up is a real thing. I've been church hurt. You probably have been church hurt.
Absolutely.
But it didn't make me leave the Lord. It made me not be friends with that person anymore. I had to forgive.
Absolutely.
You had to forgive even if they hadn't asked
and
for
I left the churches, but I've actually so far, not that I'm gloating, but I've really never went without talking to my pastor and getting released and all that.
So,
I believe Lord was leading me over here and all that. I really believe that. I really believe in that. And I spoke Sunday at a bar. And at Lugnuts and Nacogdoches.
Nacogdoches, Charlie's kids.
And she was there, and I spoke about the one, you know, and it was about the 99, the shepherd that
lost
the one sheep and would leave the 99 and go rejoice more over that one. So that you know, to me, that's what we do. We go out, and so it's funny. I thought it was like, I thought it was the same evangelism that happens when you go overseas and you're – they're hearing about Jesus for the first time. And this is Texas, bro.
Yeah.
Or even America. Like everybody knows of Jesus. They know Jesus. They just, whether they like him or not or whatever. So I didn't realize that it would be, I really feel like I'm a sheepdog just going out and herding sheep, back into the fold, you know. So.
Well, let me just tell you, Randall has a lot going on. I mean, he's in the new Deadpool 3 movie that's coming out.
I am. Don't hold it against me, please.
All these... all these years, Hollywood, and he's a Christian. He's not satisfied with what they're doing. Yeah. He's been trying to go more toward. If you hadn't seen Sons of Thunder on Pureflix, he is very involved in all of that, the writing and the production and all of that. It's a great several seasons. I guess just one season
with me. Yeah.
With you in it. Go see that. But he has a lot on his plate. He's got Americonic, he mentioned, and he's developing that and expanding that. He has a lot of things going on with that. He's still being called for movies some, but when I see him talk about Save Savages, and you probably saw, he just, it's like he took a deep breath and he just relaxed. Yeah. When you're in the middle of where God wants you to be, that's when you feel the most at peace.
Yeah.
I did not want to do this ministry.
Yeah.
And I got talked in. Randall didn't want to do Save Savages. By the way, they could always use some donations. They need help. Help Save Savages. Look them up. Look up Randall Reeder, Save Savages. They are doing some amazing things. They're going places nobody else is going. They could use some financial help to do more of what they're doing. He didn't know I was even going to bring that up, but
sure.
I want to encourage you to give. You still got to give, send, go, or how do you do?
Yeah, I'm sure all of that. Yeah. Save Savage.
Where do they go?
SaveSavageMinistries.com.
SaveSavageMinistries.com.
It's pretty easy to find. I think when you type in Save Savage Ministries, it pops up.
You'll find it. Save Savage Ministries. So, yeah. And he kind of inspired some of our stickers.
Especially the little ones.
These are the big version of them, but I'll leave the big ones out. We have them in
small size.
Those
are awesome.
The big ones we sell a lot of. The small ones are designed for motorcycles.
Yeah.
This one is the bigger one here. Active Faith, Taking the Road to Radical Redemption. And it has our website, active-faith.org. And then the other one we have has the lion with the cross in the background. I Follow Him. And it's Luke 9:57. Amen. So Randall kind of inspired these two stickers. They're in our web store at Active Desk.
Yeah, in the biker community, it's really interesting how people really want their bike blessed.
Yeah,
you know, I don't know if it's because it's like their children. It's their girlfriend. You know, it's like, oh, I want my, you know,
they keep them going. They work on them.
They care about it so much.
So connected.
But they definitely, it's a thing. It is a thing to get your bike blessed, and a lot of people want their bike blessed. And it's probably that security of, you know, you're riding down the road, you're looking at the asphalt at, you know, 70 to 100 miles an hour or whatever you're going to be doing, and it makes them feel safe. But it's a doorway in for us. You know, we do bike blessings and then we talk to them and we pray for them, the individuals, and all that. So it's crazy.
When I ordered the stickers, there's the little and the big that match. The little ones cost me almost as much as the big ones. So the little ones are not even on the website. They're $3 and these are $5.
Right.
But the size on the small one fits the bike better.
Yeah.
It goes right on the front or back or wherever that does. Yeah, it just fits better. So anyway, I need to add those to our website.
Absolutely.
But Randall is one of the inspirations that keep us excited and thinking, and we try to be that for him too.
Absolutely.
A lot of good things going on with Save Savages. Where all have you done Save Savages? You've done Nashville?
Mainly
South Texas.
We really have two tribes. Like, we have Bay Area tribe, which is kind of Gulf Coast, you know, LaPorte to Galveston area.
Yeah.
We've got Piney Woods, which is kind of out on Nacogdoches.
Yeah.
We've got other areas that we've done that we need to go back to desperately.
Right.
We've got, you know, areas that want to pop off. Like, we're doing LaGrange in July, the end of July, because Austin, there's people flying a patch in Austin and wanting to start a tribe down there.
Good.
I know I'm supposed to do Nashville, and I feel like, you know, I hope it's not me. I hope I'm not out of the will of God, like, you know, delayed obedience is disobedience, you know. So hopefully I'm not in that disobedience phase. I know I need to do it, but man, it's so overwhelming, because once you do, you've got that commitment. Los Angeles, I know I've got to do that, but man, once you do that, you got that commitment. That one is, it makes it easier to make that commitment because I was getting to see my wife more often. It's such a big thing. We, you know, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few.
Well, and all the more reason to go to Save Savage Ministries and make a donation. He's got a lot on his plate. He needs, please pray for him.
Yeah.
Please pray for that ministry.
Or start a tribe.
Our group here at Battle Plan, and all, we have a TikTok following now of about 40,000. So
that's
you
crazy.
May be getting calls from Phoenix and all other places. I'm going to Des Moines, Iowa in the fall. I'm getting places I hadn't been before too, and that's always fun. But please pray for Save Savage Ministries.
Absolutely.
He is doing amazing things for the kingdom, and he truly understand spiritual warfare. When you're baptizing banditos who used to be involved in collecting money and taking care of the bodies, sometimes literally.
Well, I don't know about that. Yeah, but
tongue in cheek, he said.
Yeah, yeah.
But anyway, please pray for them and what they're doing.
Well, you know what? You talk about spiritual warfare, and we might need to wrap it up, but I'll tell you this one story because it's so. I got a call one night, and I was I already put on my sleep mask, you know, for my CPAP machine, and it was like 10:30, and one of my brothers from Save Savage calls, and I was like, what is he calling this late? This is he never calls this late. So I set the phone down. I was like, wait a minute, he never calls this late. Mm-hmm. So I answer, and it was his son, and he was frantic. And he says, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. There's a demon on dad or something. And I've cast it off twice. But I only know John 3:16. So I just read it. I just quoted it and quoted it. And it left. But then it came back. And I said, you're not my dad. And then it told me what its name was. And all this. I don't know what to do. I was like, text me your address. You know, and I hung up. I'm like, Lord, I don't know what to do. You know, yeah. And I walk out, and I was staying in a parsonage with Pastor Don, who's one of our Save Savage leaders, and a pastor over Bay Area Tribe. And he says, "I said, man, I got to go." He said, "I thought you were going to bed." I said, "Man, I got to go. You know, just got a call from kid, and he's, you know, da da da, and his dad's possessed. He's and yeah, it's funny. Don says, "Is he a believer?" I'm like, "Yeah." He's like, "Well, if he's born again, he can't be possessed." Like, you know, he could be oppressed. I'm like, are we going to talk semantics? Or are we going to deal with like this kid is this 7-year-old kid dealing with a demonic possession or oppression or whatever. He goes, hold on, I'll go with you. I'm like, thank you. So we roll out. Next thing you know, we call one of our other brothers and says, hey, hey, pray for us. We're headed over. We're calling the troops to get to praying, you know?
Yeah.
And he's like, swing by and grab me. I'll go, good. We go over there and, man, it was wild. I mean, we're started praying for him and, he starts throwing up, but then it was beyond like heaving. Like he's like crazy demon, like out of a movie, bro.
Yeah.
It was wild. And every time we'd pray, he'd start, you know, and
convulsing.
Oh man, and it was wild. And I'm sitting there, you know, praying, scared. And I couldn't believe it.
Experience.
Next night or later that night, you know, 2 a.m, whatever, I'm getting to bed or when I was like, Lord, had you put that in a brochure, I sure wouldn't have done this ministry. You know? Yeah. I mean, like, if I knew.
What wouldn't I sign up
for? It's good that you didn't put that down you know. And he, almost the clearest he's ever spoke to me, he says, son, what did you expect? Yeah. Every single Sunday you go into a place that sells spirits for a living.
It gives spirits and the name for alcohol a whole new
realm. And I was like,
name,
whoa. It's crazy. So, yeah.
Well, and let me speak to what he just said. One biblical basis for what he just said, we think, oh, I'm a Christian. I got the Holy Spirit. I'm safe from demons. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, read 1 Corinthians 12:7, where Paul had a demon harassed him. His thorn in the flesh
was a
messenger from Satan. You call those demons. Mm-hmm. A messenger from Satan to torment me. Yeah, it talks about why, and I've talked about that in some of the other videos in the past. Paul wrote half the New Testament. If demons can harass Paul, do you think they can't harass you?
Absolutely.
Because you're a Christian?
Absolutely.
In fact, if I'm a Christian and I start looking at porn on my laptop, guess what the Holy Spirit's going to do?
Right.
He's going to back off from me, which makes me vulnerable to an evil spirit.
Absolutely.
And we were talking about Saul on the way over here. Saul walked away from what God's will was for his life, and then God pulled the Holy Spirit from him. Holy Spirit worked different in the Old Testament.
Absolutely.
And so that's why he's vulnerable to an evil spirit.
You know, I had a woman recently. We were at a bar, and she was all about everything we were praying for and everything, and she was drunk, you know, by the service, she was drunk. And but she ends up, man, this woman gets up and starts giving her testimony, and she's like, I can't do this. She gets up. I'm like, ooh. There's something that this woman was about to say that was going to set her free, in my opinion. That's how I see it.
Yeah.
So anyway, me and Sister Karen run out the door, and we catch her, and we're talking to her, and we're like, you know, can we pray with you? No, I don't need prayer right now, and all this. And she goes into this. It was wild. It was a wild, wild conversation. But she said, I've been tormented and attacked for 20 years because I've been standing in the gap for this whole area. And I was like, this woman was a spirit-filled Christian.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And now she was getting just so abused and beat up by the devil.
Yep.
And she said, if you're not tormented, then the devil don't know your name. And I was like, sister, trust me, yeah, he knows my name because yeah, I'm getting tormented.
Doesn't like,
but
that
you know,
I'm
yeah, it was, yeah, it was unbelievable. Yeah. You know, I mean, she was just, you know, I felt for her so much. We prayed for her and prayed for her still, and yeah, and she was just, you know, I mean, so being oppressed, you know, and it, I don't know if it was oppression, possession, whatever it is, but you know, I see her as a probably a spirit filled woman who has been,
yeah,
you know, just and just has been just, you know, overwhelmed by the enemy, you know, mm-hmm, and, you know, and I know how it feels.
Well,
you know?
And let me piggyback on that story, because a lot of people get involved in spiritual warfare, but they're not protected themselves.
Yeah.
So that's one of the reasons we love this idea. It's just right, an act of faith.
Absolutely.
Which is why we call the ministry act of faith.
Yeah.
It's Bible verses on tent stakes, reclaim the land.
Right.
That way the enemy can't get in where I need a safe spot because I'm in a war. And every night, my safe yeah, spot is my home,
yeah,
or where I work during the day. I stake that. And this journey for me, being, you know, background has been ultra conservative, a cappella right, Church of Christ. Right. I mean, I'm the last guy you should be yeah, looking for advice.
That's what validated you more to me was that you didn't say, "Oh yeah, I was raised Pentecostal,"
yeah,
or whatever.
Yeah.
I was like, "Oh, that makes sense."
No big deal.
But you yeah, being Church yeah, of Christ and God telling you to do this, I was like, I was all ears. I got to hear more about this.
Yeah, yeah, so, because, you know, a Church of Christ guy is getting invited to Church of Christ.
Right.
But Pentecostals and Baptists and Lutheran and Methodist, they're not worried I'm too liberal for them.
Right.
You know, because I was raised right, ultra-conservative.
Right.
So doors, God has opened doors right, for me to share these real stories
right,
in areas that if it happened to you, you wouldn't get invited to the places I'm getting invited to.
Right.
So we all have a part to play.
And you still got invited to a lot of Church of Christ.
Well, yeah, and also a bar. I spoke yeah, at a bar.
And you spoke at a bar one time because you had some crazy friends.
Yeah, I do. I love. So anyway, yeah, so my journey amen, has been crazy and exciting. Randall's journey has been crazy and exciting.
It is
still crazy and yeah, exciting. It is for
yours,
me too.
Yeah.
We're both doing things we never thought we'd be doing, but it feels like it's where God wants us to be. Pray for us because we know the enemy doesn't like what we're doing. We're going to pray for you. I'm going to pray before we hang up today and say goodbye. I do want to just give a review of the things. I told you about Save Savages, and he's working on a book. We're actually trying to help him get that. We think it's so important that he write this book with his experience in Hollywood and his connections, and that'll be an inspiration for many people. And also, it can help support him and the ministry. So we're going to help promote that book. We're going to have it on our website, too, besides just his. We just love what he's doing and how he's making a difference in the world, in the real world today, where the rubber meets the road. Mm. My first encounter was when Dad died and read a book on heaven. So that was my first book. It is available in Spanish, too. So that way, the heaven book is also on Audible. Then I started with my spiritual warfare books. Prayer, Satan, Hate was my second book. It's also on Audible. And then my best-selling book is What Are the Stakes? God Markers on the Land. This is the third edition. We just did a new cover and a third edition and updated some of the stories. I attacked in my living room. A guy did $42,000 damage and then wrote me a check for the damage and apologized. You know, and then we staked the city and crime drops 45%. You just can't make these stories up. It's a collection of those kind of stories. It's also on Audible, and we have that one available in Spanish, too. In fact, I think Panama is trying to give them to every pastor, and they're working on staking the entire country. Then I did a daily devotional, God's Power for Our Daily Battles. We have a video version. I'm doing that this year, daily, calling it God's Daily Power for every day of the year. We have a regular version that just has, you know, a quick verse and prayer each day, but we also have a journal edition that lets you write your own thoughts at the end of each day with the prayer and the verses. So that's kind of unique. And then I'm up to 70 spiritual weapons from Scripture. It takes me 4.5 to 5 hours to teach that. When I do, I'm doing a free first Thursday of each month seminar on the spiritual weapons this year. We do something different every year. The first 12, I put in a book called 12 Spiritual Weapons. So that one's available now too. And then I have a children's book on spiritual warfare about a little kindergarten boy who has nightmares and how you gently deal with that and help them, pray and put sticky notes with verses around their bed. That's what happens in the story. Then he has no more nightmares and dreams. He has angels protecting him while he's sleeping. Charlie Caraway, Dr. Charlie Caraway, has a great book called The Wounded Warrior. She's actually given seminars and ladies' retreats and weekend events on that. And one of the problems is soul ties. She has a new short book, The Tie That Binds. I'm still reading that one. You can see my sticky notes sticking out. So both excellent, excellent books and resources for you to help. We also have a free download of how to do this yourself without me. You don't need any of my books. You don't have to use my stakes, even though these are the coolest stakes on the planet because they have the verses built into the plastic on the sides of them. But we have the How to Stake Your Property document as a free download in 7 languages so far. We're trying to get it translated into all languages, and it describes the purpose and how to do it, and then has the verse list on the back. You can use this to read them out loud, and we recommend you do that as you pray. Some people are also taking the Lord's Supper as they pray and playing a shofar or playing a YouTube video with the shofar. Trumpet is one of the weapons. That's a free download at active-faith.org. We have a new app. You can go to the App Store in both Android and iPhone, Active Faith app. And you can get to the free seminars and free podcasts and all that. And the stakes are available there too. And then we have a lot of plastic cards. We have the regular spiritual warfare card, which has the same verses as the stakes. But we have a new card that is spiritual weapons, all 70 spiritual weapons on one little front and back card, the size of a credit card. And then the armor card with the spiritual armor with Ephesians 6 on the back. And then we have all the military cards that have Psalm 91 on the back. For Marines, first responders, Air Force, Navy, Army, and then the stickers we showed there before, and then another type of sticker that fits on the front of the stakes. They come 5 in a pack too on issues like sexual purity, racial unity. These are called scripture stickers. Children, the name of Jesus, and a lot of verses with it. We also have them in red and white. That are statement stickers. No narcissistic spirit may stay. No homosexual spirit may stay here. No gluttony spirit may stay. No divisive spirit. No religious spirit. It's the religious spirit we deal with a lot of times when the church hurt things come along. And so that's part of that too. So one more time, how can they find you and help your ministry?
Yeah, there's always safesavageministries.com, and you can go there. And then, of course, there's, you know, Facebooks, you know, you can look at all the social media, you know, anything Safe Savage Ministry should happen. Safe Savage Sunday services, Safe Savage, you know, different tribes like Piney Woods and all that. So just Safe Savage should get you there on the social medias. And then, we really... You know, pray for workers, you know, pray for workers. Yep. I mean, money's nice. Yes, of course, we need that to function. But just, you know, even I was thinking about just, you know, having people, you know, we need somebody working the website and things like that,
yeah.
that you know, that know None what they're doing, free. You know, yeah. and it's just, or it's even if it's someone that volunteers, it takes that special someone who even understands
right.
how to do that.
Right.
So, you know, things like that. But hey, praise God. We're out doing it, you know.
One day at a time.
Absolutely.
So thank you, Randall, for being here today.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you for helping Battle Plan and the Active Faith website group continue to grow and develop. When they put us on TikTok last summer, I think the first full month was July or so, started in June, 890,000 views in July. Only God can make that stuff happen. We're working on a narrative podcast that will be actors and actresses playing the parts of these real stories that we share, but audio only. And we're hoping that will segue into the big screen things that are still in the works or in the possible plans. We need encouragement. We need prayers. But before we hang up today, I'm going to pray for you. Let's pray. Holy Father, thank you for the ministry of Save Savages and for Randall and his commitment to you and desire to please you and reach people nobody else is reaching. And Father, thank you for Active Faith Ministries and all these people who've supported our podcast all the way up to number 250, and plus all the daily podcasts we do to encourage people a little bit each day to think from a spiritual warfare standpoint and to think about protection and to think strategically so we can protect our children and grandchildren and leave them with a better world. We're all concerned about the world and the direction things are going today. There's so much deception and there's so many lies. I pray you'd help us to love the truth and to draw closer to you. We know that if we draw closer to you, you'll draw closer to us too. So please continue to bless every person who's helping us along the way. Active Faith is just so appreciative of, Lord, how you've blessed us and how you've connected us with so many great people around the country. Please continue to do that and help us to make a difference in people's daily lives. But Father, we want to do it all to your glory, not to ours. And we want to give you the honor and praise and glory for all that right now. Yes. In Jesus' name we pray. Jesus. Amen.